God bless each and everyone. Welcome to the Bible study. Wednesday evening has come about once again. We had announced on Sunday that we wanted to have a look at maybe a Kahoot and do it towards the young people this evening. But just in going through what you've been going through, I could see we hadn't really finished off the topic. I think we needed to hit it on the head. We needed to just bring everything to a conclusion, bring everything together. So I thought that that might be better for us this evening. We just do part four. By the grace of God, conclude everything up. Although I don't think these kind of topics, you can ever really conclude them. They just got too much you could go into. But I think it'll be just a good thing for us to take it as far as we can this evening. And then we go on to deal with the young people, do the Kahoot and that after that, because we would have finished our topic. So what we're looking at this evening is we are wanting to, if I can find it here. Okay. Sorry, there's just a bit of a technical hitch here. Let me just turn something on here, and then we'll get started. Okay. So I'm going to see if I can share my screen now. And there you go. Okay. Can you see that? Yeah, that's come up. So we're looking at the matrix part four. But the thought this evening is setting the boundaries. That's obviously where we wanted to get to. Because I know just leaving things in the open without putting it down a bit, it's too open to subjection. You know, one person's 8 hours a day is another person's 1 hour a day. You know, so I think it's good for us to really get down to some recommendations, the boundaries, parameters that are recommended for some of these things. And I think that might just be a good way for us to conclude things. But before we get there, the question at the bottom there just says, are you an idol worshiper? So we want to just have a look at that thought as well about the issue of worship and so forth as a bit of an introduction. And then we'll get into having a look at setting these boundaries, if the Lord would help us. Let's pray. Father, we ask of you to help us now, to quicken us, to lead us, to guide us, to bless your people, to touch your people upon this night, Father, as we get into this topic, how we need your grace upon each and every one of us, Lord. We just need you to lead us and guide us into your thoughts, your mind, into your spirit, your ways. Because, Lord, at the end of it all, if each of us could just say, thy will be done, Father, that would be the most blessed outcome that you could desire from these sessions that we've had. So help us, Lord, in our limitations. Help us in our human inabilities. Father, may you speak, may you lead, may you guide. May you help us now as you open your word and in all else that would be said. We're looking to you, Father, to be glorified this night in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're looking at this one here, setting the boundaries. Are you an idol worshiper? If we take a scripture, we'll take it. 1 John 5, verse 21. Here's John the apostle. He says at the very end of this epistle, he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. You know, so, I mean, that's not just going to be a statue of Baal, a statue of Buddha that you're putting in your lounge and you're bowing down. Obviously, there's more to it than that. So we want to keep ourselves from idols. And our thought is going to be, are you an idol worshiper at first? Let's just get into that and see what is idol worship and what is it to be an idol worshiper. Brother Rama says that in all ages, people are born to worship. You'll worship something. Maybe it's your child. And the Lord tested Abraham on that. You say, worship my child. Well, the Lord wanted to make sure that Abraham didn't love his child, Isaac, ahead of loving him, the Lord. So he put him to the test. And that was a real, real test for Abraham. It was a great, great test that he had to go through. You know, so in all ages, people are born to worship. You'll worship something. Maybe it's your child, your car, your home, your job, maybe even your church. There's something in the human heart that calls out for worship somewhere. No man is on earth without worship. We all worship something. So maybe we should just give a little bit of a definition of what is worship. When we worship, how can we worship our car and so forth? Worship is when we give our deepest affection. So the greatest desire that you have, the deepest love that you have, You give your deepest affection and your highest praise to something. So if you want to know whether you're worshiping something, it's something that you prize maybe in life above all else. It's that thing that you end up increasingly thinking upon. And you're always talking about that because from the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So what's the most precious thing to you, the most valuable thing to you, the thing you desire the most, is the thing that you're going to think about the most, that you're going to talk about the most. And this can gradually consume us, this thing, if we allow it. It can get more and more, take over more and more of our life, become more and more important to us. And we don't really want it to do that because Satan's always looking at some way to take advantage on our inbuilt weaknesses and our fallen nature. He wants to lure us into this one of idol worship. So you find somebody leaves church, a young man. Why? Because he met a girl and she doesn't want to worship. And he turns his back on Christ to go to follow a girl. That kind of a love is an idol worship because you've put something ahead of Christ as the supreme object of affection that you desire inside of your life. You might never say, I've rejected Christ. I'm worshiping idols. But our action speaks louder than our words. Yeah, so if you're putting something ahead of the Lord, this is now the territory of idol worship if you're not careful. And also idol worship is, well, worship is when something gains too much importance in our life. You know, like I'm saying, you think about it all the time. You talk about it all the time. First thing in the morning, that's what you're thinking about. Now that's becoming the realm of worship. You've now got the wrong absolute. And Jesus warned us of this and told us what we've got to do. And he said it in Matthew 22:37. He said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great, the great and first commandment. Now you'll say, but the Lord is asking us to love him supremely. Yes, that's the greatest thing and the best thing that he could ever do for us, because if you put something else before somebody or raise something else up as the supreme object, the supreme thing that we need to desire or worship apart from the Lord, everything else is fallen. Everything else will fail. Everything else will let you down. The only thing that is perfect, the only thing that is eternal, the only thing that has our best interests at heart, that loves us supremely, is God himself. So he sets himself up. He says, look, love me with all your heart. Let me be the supreme inside of your life, because you'll never regret this. Because I'm eternal. I know all things. I love you. I know the best for you. I made you. So let me be the supreme object, and you'll never be disappointed. But if you put anything else as the supreme object ahead of me, you're going to be greatly disappointed by it. Because every brother shall supplant, every man will let you down, every girl, she's got her back parts, every boy has got his bad parts. Every single one of us will disappoint one another. But only he has the qualifications to be the supreme object of worship. Because he's perfect in all of his ways. He's eternal. He created us. Anything else is created, and anything else is imperfect, like Lucifer. You know, he was created, he was perfect in all of his ways until iniquity was found in him. And then we know what took place after that. And anything else will promise you a lot, but it'll always fail you and disappoint you in the end, because it's a broken system. No, it's not something which you can drink from continually and always be satisfied. It's something which you will be disappointed in, no matter what it is. It's your job, your car, your church, everything will let you down in the end. There's only one thing, one being who has you perfectly in his heart and wants the best for you at all times, in all conditions, and that is the Lord himself. And that's proven by the fact that he came to us as a man. God gave his only begotten son. Jesus died for us. Jesus shed his blood. He paid the supreme price for us because of his love for us. He's proven that he's the only one that's worthy of worship. Now, one of the greatest tragedies and deceptions is self-worship. You'll say self-worship, well, I'll never worship self. Well, let's have a look. Paul warned us of this in the last days. He says, this know also that in the last days, that's our time, perilous times shall come, dangerous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Like the brother when he was preaching the other time said, we're in the selfie generation, you know, lovers of our own self. Never before did people used to take photos of themselves, apart from our generation. The selfie and the selfie stick, it's a modern phenomenon. And Paul said, people will be lovers of their own selves. Then he goes to verse 4 and he says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, this is where idol worship comes in. If you love pleasures more than you love God, you're worshiping idols. You're an idol worshiper because you put something ahead of the Lord. And that's what Paul warns us of. Don't be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, that word pleasures, lovers of pleasures, that's what the Bible dictionary means, to please. That means sensual delight. So something that appeals to your senses. Yeah. Sensual delight. By implication, your desire, lust, pleasure. So you can see it's not just looking at a sunset and saying it's beautiful, but this is something that you crave, that you desire. This is something that appeals to your senses. It's a sensual delight. You know, it's pleasing. It's as we get into it, we'll see it's Paul is speaking of the dopamine addicts in the last days. You know, lovers of pleasures. We want the pleasures, the thrill. We want that more than we love God. Now, when you're getting in that realm, now we've become idol worship. Now it's dangerous. We've moved, Satan's moved us into dangerous territory. And this is when it comes in, if you really want to understand it, it's when you desire to please yourself, to find pleasure yourself more than finding pleasure in the Lord or giving the Lord pleasure. Can you see? You're loving yourself more than you love. You're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. But now we've got an age, Paul says, in the last days, we're going to be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And it's this dopamine that will really fulfill that scripture, these addicts. And in the end, it becomes self-worship. We'll understand that, self-worship. If you love pleasure more than you love God, you're not loving giving other people pleasure. It's your pleasure, the things you take pleasure in, whether it's social media, it could be sports, it could be a girl, it could be cars, it could be whatever. You know, anything that gives you pleasure, supreme pleasure that you put ahead of God, that you love more than the Lord, it's you pleasing yourself now. It's self-worship because you're getting pleasure. So you put this as the supreme thing, the most important thing, I want pleasure. And unfortunately, Paul warned us that that is the age that we're living in, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. He says they love God, but they love their pleasures more than they love God. And that's sad. And you don't want to be a believer like that. That's only safe thing. The best thing for you and I is that Jesus must be the supreme object of pleasure in our life. The greatest thing is to please him, to worship him, to do his will. Then everything else below that, that's fine. Everything on a secondary level, if you want to play games, if you want to do sport, whatever, as long as it doesn't take his place, the Lord is happy. You keep it within the right boundaries. There's nothing wrong with these things. But don't let these things become, you know, take over your life, because this is the tragedy of addiction. This is where self-worship will always lead you to. Self-worship leads you to addiction. Now, self-worship, let's get into just understanding this principle a little bit. What are we saying when we speak of self-worship? Addiction is a very good example of where self-worship leads us. Where does addiction begin? Addiction, whether it's smoking, I put on the graphic there, alcohol, drugs, whether it's sex, it's pornography, it's eating, shopping, social networks, gambling, computer games, anything that's got the capacity to give you continual dopamine, pleasure, 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 or adrenaline, and like artificially on a regular basis. We've got to be careful of these things. Where does addiction begin? With the love of pleasure. And why does a person drink alcohol? It gives them pleasure. And why do they become addicts? Because they want more and more of that pleasure until it takes over their life. How does pornography come about? People watch something that gives them pleasure, and then it consumes them and takes over their life. Or gambling, it gives you a dopamine rush, gives you adrenaline, it gives you pleasure. And now all you want to do is get that same rush, the love of pleasure, the love of pleasure. And because it's artificial, it's dopamine, there's always the capacity for addiction. And basically, it's the satisfaction of self. You know, you get to the stage that all you want to do is satisfy yourself. You just want pleasure yourself, whether it ruins your relationships, whether you lose all your money, all your children's money, your inheritance, whether you ruin your health, whatever that it is, whether you ruin your job, your education, that's what addiction does. You know, this desire to satisfy self, to find pleasure yourself, becomes the most important thing inside of your life. That's self-worship. That's idol worship. You've put other things ahead of the Lord. And it's rampant in the age that we're living, unfortunately. So that's where it starts. All of these things, gambling, like I said, alcohol, all of these things, any kind of digital stimulation that you get, we've got to be careful with these things. Like we said, this is the tree of life. And it's our desire for that dopamine. It's that desire for that adrenaline, that rush, that feeling good, that pleasure that drives this. Now, I'm not condemning addicts or addiction, because addiction is a tragedy, not only for the people that get addicted, but also for the people around them. There's a lot of collateral damage, families and relationships and so many things because of addiction. It's the saddest thing, addiction. So we're just trying to really warn people about it a little bit today to show how easy it is to become addicted. Because once you put pleasures ahead of God, you're on your road, a slippery slope, and it can very easily lead you to addiction. And where does addiction end? One of the saddest effects of this self-worship, of selfishness, the desire for pleasure, is that it always leads you step by step into bondage. That's the sad effect of addiction. You become bound by the very thing that you're seeking to get pleasure from. You become more and more consumed with one thing. It becomes more and more important to you inside of your life. You push out everything else. You're just focusing on this one thing. You want it to satisfy that craving inside of you at any cost in the end. Gamblers will steal money, lie to people, borrow money, and do all those things. Alcoholics, they can drink away their salary. The rent doesn't get paid. No food on the table for their family. At any cost, they want to get that pleasure, that craving, because now they've become addicted. They've come into bondage because they were lovers of pleasure, and they put that pleasure ahead of all things. Now, each of us have the capacity in different ways to be addicted to different things. So we need to keep the blood. We need to keep the grace of God between us and our weaknesses, because we can all fall into these things. Jesus said, the thief, the devil, comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So all of these things from the tree of life, the tree of knowledge, you've got to be careful. You know, with these internet stuff, devices, phones, tablets, not only that, but screens is one big, big part. We're seeing a whole generation growing up becoming addicted to these things. That's what the health professionals say. A crisis, a storm is on the way, because, you know, it's affecting people in so many ways inside of their life, because all of these artificial things have become so important and become something because people are looking for pleasure. That's what they're really looking for, to please themselves. And I believe it shouldn't really be like that. Now, if you want to know how dangerous this is, Satan's agenda that he has, his desire, he wants to stop you from being what God wants you to be. God has good thoughts, purposes, and plans. The Bible says at his right hand are pleasures anymore. You know, like we said, to drink of the new wine of the revelation of the word is the real stimulation. It's real pleasure. And you know, the more you get in love with Christ, and the more you get, he becomes your absolute, the more it makes you like Christ, and more it makes you a better husband, a better wife, a better neighbor, a better brother, a better sister, a better employee, a better citizen of the country. So you can never have too much of the Lord. That's why he says, only let me be the object of worship in your life. Only let me be the supreme, because there's no side effects in worshiping God. There's only positive benefits that come from worshiping him. But anything else that you put supreme or most important in your life, there's side effects to everything from the tree of knowledge. There's going to be a payback time sometime. And sometimes it'll take you far further than you ever wanted to go and keep you far longer than you ever intended to stay. But the Lord wants to get the best from our life, but Satan wants to pervert. He wants to trap us and entice us and find that weak point and then, take us into bondage, preying on our human weaknesses. If you don't agree with me, just ask Samson. Because Samson, he gave his strength to God, but he gave his heart to Delilah. So what did Samson want? Was the pleasure, the dopamine, the pleasure, the sensuality. Samson became a lover of pleasure more than the lover of God. His heart, he gave it to Delilah, but he gave his strength. He gave his gift to the Lord. He'd go to church every week and pay his tithes. But his supreme wasn't the Lord at first in his life. His supreme was Delilah. That's why he was willing to tell her the secrets of the Lord, to betray his own people in a way, because of his love for Delilah. There was a very, very unhealthy obsession that he had. Instead of loving the Lord with all his heart, he would have been a mighty man if he had done it from the beginning. But he ended up in the place where self-worship always leads, the picture on the right. You end up in bondage to the very thing that you give your heart to. The moment you make you something supreme, you end up in bondage, that very thing. That's how Satan has designed his Eden, has designed the age that we're living in. So we need to really assess, what is the most important thing inside of my life? What is my supreme? What is my absolute? What is my ultimate? And the new birth, the revelation of Jesus Christ, makes Christ your ultimate. It has to. There's nothing else. Now, if you look at body, soul, and spirit, and addiction. Addiction affects you in your body, it affects you in your soul, and it affects you in your spirit. Now, addiction has physical effects in your body, obviously. You think of things like even social media, even we saw it with video games, playing too much of it, too much dopamine, it affects the development of your brain. Then there's obesity and all the other things that are the byproducts also of people becoming addicted to these things. It has effects in your body, especially in your brain. That's the first thing that it does. It affects the normal development of your brain. They've proven that. Secondly, in your spirit, in the realm of your emotions, it affects you emotionally. It affects your way you cannot connect socially with people anymore. That part of your brain is stunted. To really communicate socially, to be able to discuss and talk and network with people face to face. Some people are so caught up in this digital web that now the only way they can communicate with any confidence is digitally. It's got to be through social media. That's the way they want to communicate. It's a very, very sad thing when it gets to that, because God never designed us to be like that. He made us social beings. We're supposed to have koinonia, fellowship one with another. That's the precious thing that we have. But any addiction, it's going to affect your relationships now, because you've put something ahead and it's starting to affect you now. And when you get addicted, you're willing for your relationships to suffer in order to feed continually that self-desire, that desire for pleasure, that something, that gambling, that alcohol, pornography, that social media, those video games, whatever, that which gives you pleasure on demand. You're getting to be a dangerous stage where now you're allowing your relationships to suffer, because the something has taken over inside of your life. It's consumed you. It's become an idol. And in fact, it's self-worship, but it leads you on to idol worship. You don't want it to be like that. But the greatest effect of addiction is in your soul. Because if you're willing to spoil your relationships, forsake your relationship with your family, with your previous friends, and that because you're so addicted to World of Warcraft or whatever that these guys get into, playing all night, and even allow your studies to suffer, your job, lose your job because you're so consumed by the digital world. That's one way, or by gambling, by alcohol, drugs, whatever the other things are you want to look at. If you're willing to allow it to affect your natural relationships, you're obviously going to allow it to affect the greatest relationship, the most important, which is your relationship with Christ, with the person of eternal life. Your spiritual life will suffer because you're putting other things ahead. Your spiritual life, the relationship you and Christ, is not the most important thing to your life anymore. You've allowed other things to come in the way. So that's why addiction is a very cruel thing. It's a tragedy. It affects your body, soul, and spirit. That's where idol worship, self-worship will always lead you to be a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God. It can be a cycle that just keeps taking you down further and further and further. But now to contrast it, let's compare selfishness, which is the love of self, love of pleasure, versus selflessness. Because that is what we're called to do as believers. We're supposed to be Christ-like. Now, Jesus is the absolute personification of selflessness. There was no selfishness in Jesus. He never came to this earth seeking things just for his own pleasure. There were things he took pleasure in, yes, but always his supreme was to do the will of his Father and to finish the work that he sent him to do. Brother Abraham says Jesus loved the sunsets. He loved time with his disciples. He didn't want to die. He was a man as well as being God. You know, so he had his human side. He loved John. John was the beloved disciple. Yeah, so there were certain things that he loved, certain things he loved, but he would never allow any of those things to come in the way of his relationship with God. He would never, ever put self in the way of his calling. That's what Gethsemane was all about. Not my will, but thy will be done. Father, not what gives me pleasure. If this gives me pleasure, but it doesn't give you pleasure, I'm going to forsake it. I'm going to lay it upon the altar. I'm not going to give myself over to something that gives me pleasure at the expense of your will. You see, and that's where Jesus lived a perfect life as a man. That's why his life was the greatest blessing that was ever visited upon the sons of men. Jesus' life, what made it such a blessing? He was always thinking of others. He was never putting himself first. That's what the cross speaks about as well. He was always willing, continually willing to sacrifice self for the good of others. Whether that means he didn't have a place to sleep, he had to get a coin from a fish's mouth to pay the tax. He was thinking of others all the time, not thinking of himself. When the devil said, turn the stones into bread. No, he wouldn't do that. That he would have desired that in himself. He had been fasting 40 days, but it was against the will of God. So he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He was continually living on. He was the commandment made flesh. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Jesus showed us how to do it. Doesn't mean he didn't love other things, that he didn't take pleasure, that he didn't, let's go aside and rest for a while. There's other recreations that he had and things that he loved to do. But there was always one thing supreme, sacred, and nothing else could encroach on those sacred sands. And that was the realm of worship. He would worship the Lord his God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. Jesus was the full expression of eternal life in flesh. Brother Ram says, now the first thing I want to say is, Jesus never lived for himself. His life was spent for others. That's perfectly eternal life. When you say you go to church and you do good things, that's fine. But when you live your life to yourself, you haven't eternal life. You see, the expression of eternal life, of the Holy Ghost, of God living inside of a person, is you'll want to please others ahead of yourself. You'll never want to get into self-worship and put pleasures ahead of you know, at the detriment of other people. You'll never allow something to come in your life which is going to affect your relationship with other people. No. That's what he says. When you live your life to yourself, you haven't got eternal life. Then he says eternal life is living for others. It proved it when it came in the Lamb of God. So we saw what eternal life did in a perfect man in Christ. Now, we're not perfect. I mean, we're going to have to struggle and wrestle with certain things. But, you know, for our life to be a selfish life, that you just think of yourself, and then you say you've got eternal life, that must be a small measure of eternal life. Or somehow you're not allowing that eternal life to express itself, because eternal life in Christ expressed itself in a selfless life. That he never made himself the center of it. The most important thing was the word. How then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? He never put his comfort, never put his ease, his pleasure ahead of his call, of his the sacred call that he had been called to. He says he lived and had eternal life because he did not live for himself. He lived for others. And you receive eternal life by receiving that day. The message is that day on Calvary. Say, you receive this life when you receive Christ's death that day on Calvary. And you don't live for yourself no more. You live for others. So you can see where we're getting onto when we're speaking of being addicted to things. The problem is that, you know, if you do have the Lord in your heart, if you're saved, you're not allowing the Lord to express himself. You've just smothered God out with self, the love of pleasure more than the love of God. And we don't want that inside of our lives. So the question comes in, are you an addict? Or are you showing the warning signs of addiction? Okay, we did this a few months back. I'm just going to do the survey once more. Let's take the survey. Let's see whether we are dependent on, which is the beginning of addiction, or even addicted to, which is the disease when it's got into its advanced stage. Are we addicted to social media or to our mobile phones? Let's just answer these questions yourself in your heart. Sincerely, once again, remember we did this in church once before. Number one, the symptoms of addiction to social media. Let's go through them and let's see how many of these we honestly portray so we can see whether we are allowing this to take a control in our life, whether this is bordering on too much, giving too much emphasis and importance to this. And so this is starting to take a place of great preeminence. It's going to border on worship if you're not careful. It's going to border on idol worship if you're not careful. Number one, do you feel unsettled when there's no access to the internet? The social network is down or is slower than usual. Or like when we went to Hungary and you go to a camp and there's no internet connection and there's no mobile signal. If you feel panic inside of yourself, it is a very bad symptom of dependence on something. Something has got too much of a hold inside of your life. Something's got too much of an influence inside of your life. There's nothing wrong with social media in itself, kept within the right boundaries and parameters, but this is the first symptom that it's got a deeper hold maybe than you thought that it did. This becomes unhealthy now. This is now bordering on getting towards addiction when it's starting to get like that. Number two, do you check social media first thing in the morning and last thing at night? Notice the first thing that you do inside of your life is the first thing that you do when you wake up, Facebook, Instagram, whatever that it is. That's rare, especially as a believer. That is very unhealthy because the first thing for a believer is I need to seek the face of the Lord. I need my morning watch. I need to hear his voice before I hear any other voices. You know, what's the last thing at night that you're going to sleep meditating upon? Is it upon, you know, things on Facebook, things upon media? No, I think that's now because that's what they're saying. This is the second symptom that you started to become dependent or leaning towards addiction to social media. Number three, do you feel stressed when your smartphone isn't to hand? You leave your phone at home. No, the battery goes out, your phone breaks down, you feel stressed. How am I going to face up to the day without my phone? Well, for 2,000 years, 6,000 years, people lived without them. We lived without them in our youth. We had a phone at home which had a cord on it, and you had to go home to phone, and people had to phone you at home. And we all survived perfectly well, and life went on just as normal. But now we've become so dependent now, and we've got to be careful that dependence doesn't lead to addiction because it can quite easily do it. Number four, are you guilty of using social media while walking? We were in Nando's yesterday and there were four young guys that were like young people. They were maybe just early college age, at university age. And they were sitting at the table behind us. And from the time we got there, almost without exception, even while she ate, the one girl was on her phone all the time. I pointed out to guys, I said, guys, look at this. She's sitting with her friends in a restaurant And she just had her phone in one hand, continually looking. Even while she was eating, she was reading her phone. And her friends were all talking around her. I said, wow. May the Lord help none of us ever to get to that stage, that we become so dependent on something that we cannot even put it down to spend social time in a restaurant with our friends, to enjoy our meal, to look around. Now, the problem is with many young people now, or not many young people, not only young people, and all of us, that seems normal behavior to a lot of people, which it's not normal behavior what you're speaking about. This is very abnormal behavior. Number five, you're guilty of using social media while driving. No, that's a danger. Now you have to keep up to date. Something's coming through. That's dangerous. Number six, do you feel bad when not getting likes, retweets, or views? Now you post something and people aren't commenting, or people, you feel bad about it. It's maybe you've got to be careful because it can be having too much importance inside of your life. Number seven, do you prefer to communicate with friends and family through social media rather than face to face? Is that digital world more comfortable for you than face to face? That's not helpful. That's not the way that it's supposed to be. Number eight, do you feel the need to share everyday things all the time? I mean, you do see it all the time. People posting things on their status, people posting things on, what they're eating, what they just had for lunch, each and everything which they going through during the day. Everything has got to be put online. That is just not a normal way of living life. Special occasions, special things, wonderful. Share them with people, share them with the right people. But like we've said, your private life is supposed to be private, not public. But we just feel this urge all the time to putting things out there. See, how do people comment about it? No, be careful. That can be a little bit too much. I skip number nine. I'm going to number 10. Do you miss real life moments by trying to get the perfect picture? The camera is the most important thing. You can't enjoy the woods. You can't enjoy walking by the river. You've got to have the phone out. You've got to be taking video and photos all the time. Yes, there's a balance to it, of course. But I think this is what they say. If you can answer yes to four or five of these things, you really need to be examining to see whether you're getting a little bit of a dependence, too much of a dependence towards an addiction on social media. To me, so. Okay, what about are you a gaming addict? Or are you showing the warning signs? Now, I do realize, guys, people can play games and not be addicted. People can play games and keep it within the boundaries. That's wonderful. And that's what we've said all along. We're not here to try to say throw everything out and people shouldn't use social media. No, we're trying to say boundaries and parameters. We're trying to show you warning signs. We're trying to show you about redeeming the time last time, about worship this time, self-worship and addiction. We're trying to just warn people about the dangers of this tree of knowledge because so many people have fallen victim to this. People we know, people we love, even people in church, people who can't sleep in ordinary hours, have to sleep 2, 3 in the morning and tired the next day when they're going to school because they're so addicted to their phones, to screens. It's sad. That's what we're trying to reach out to those kinds of people. And one other thing is gaming addiction. It's a crisis in the world. It's a big issue, as we saw the other week. So what are the warning signs? Number one, warning sign number one is your preoccupation with video games. What does that mean? Excessive or continual thinking about previous or future gaming. You finish a game, your time is up. But all you're doing is you're thinking about gaming. You're thinking about the next time. You're thinking about that game that you just played. Gaming becomes the dominant activity in your daily life. That's the center point of your life. Everything else before, everything else after it is not as important. That is the most important thing, is my time when I'm gaming. That's a very big warning sign of addiction or of dependency. Now, we're not here to take a poll. We're not here to ask people to put up their hand. Every single one of us, we need just to be honest with ourselves, because all we're trying to do here is warn of the signs and symptoms, because we don't want people to miss what Christ has for you in life by allowing Satan to lure you down further and further into a web that after a while consumes your life and becomes too important instead of keeping the things within the right balance. Warning sign number two, withdrawal symptoms when gaming is taken away. So when your screens are taken away from you for a day or two, the internet's down, your computer doesn't work, or you go away somewhere with the family, there's no gaming taking place, the symptoms are typically described as irritability, anxiety, boredom, cravings for the games, or sadness. Now, it affects you emotionally now. You're not getting that dopamine hit. You're not getting that continual rush, that pleasure that you had before. So you come down, you're irritable, you're anxious. This is the same as when drug addicts are taking off their drugs, or people when they try to stop smoking, or people when they try to stop vaping. You know, it's the same symptoms because these are addictions. So and also you can tell them, take the screen away from a young child from one of your children and see how do they react. You know, tell them, you know, guys, today there's going to be no screens. So let's stop the screens for today and see. Wow. That's one way you can see when something's having too much of a hold, an unhealthy hold in the life of a person. Warning sign number three. Tolerance. The need to spend increasing amounts of time engaged in video games. And that's all is an addiction. You need more and more time to get the same pleasure. You just need more and more. Your time, if you have a look at how much you game now compared to how much you gamed a year ago, and you find maybe a year ago you had it under control, you game maybe 30 minutes a day, you had things or whatever, an hour on a Saturday or an hour and a half with your friends. And now you're looking at it and it's come up and you're going all night and you're missing sleep, missing school. You've got a big problem. And the greatest problem with addictions is addicts always deny that they're addicts. Now, the great thing you have to overcome, first of all, is yourself and acknowledge and realize, but this thing has taken over. And this thing is too important in life. It's affecting me, body, soul, and spirit. We don't want you to be doing that. So increasing amounts of time. Number four, loss of interest. Loss of interest in previous hobbies and entertainment. So the things you used to spend time in, music, painting, hiking, cycling, basketball, football, whatever, you're not interested in that anymore. All you can think about is gaming. This is your passion now. That's unhealthy now. You know, it's pushing towards unhealthiness here now. These are the warning signs, they say, of addiction, of heading towards addiction. Number five, deceit. You have deceived family members, therapists, or others regarding your gaming. You know, you do it in secret. You don't want people to know. How much time are you spending now? Oh, I'm okay. I'm not doing much. You know, it's the denial there. It's the deceit. It's like gamblers. They gamble and hide it away and don't want people to see their bank statements or their credit card debt and stuff, hide it from their families. This deception comes in and it shows it's taken control. You're not in control of this thing. Now, obviously, gambling, you shouldn't have anything to do with it anyhow. But anything else where you find you being deceptive now, you don't want people to know how much time you're spending. That's a very big flashing red light of a warning sign to say, what's happening? How come this thing is starting to do this to you inside of your life? Is this healthy? Is this the way that it's supposed to be? Number six, lost opportunities. So gaming, you've jeopardized or lost significant relationships or jobs or education or career opportunities because you spend too much time on video gaming. You know, it's affected you. You've lost your old friends, your good old friends that you used to have. You know, you used to get out there in the neighborhood and do this and that with other guys, you know, meet up with people, have a barbecue, different things, but you don't do those things anymore. You've allowed good old-fashioned friendships to slip away because this something has taken control. It's now pushed all of those things out of your life. Can you not see it starting to consume you? Maybe job opportunities, your education, your career, whatever. You could have been so much further if you had focused on things that are beneficial, things that can benefit you and your family down later on in life. But this something now, this digital something has taken too much of your time, too much of your attention. It's consuming you at the expense of other things. And these lost opportunities, many of them, once they're lost, you can't get them back again. It's very hard to redeem that time and bring it back again. Warning sign number seven, neglect. neglecting to pay attention to things such as personal hygiene, washing or eating. You play game all night, you don't even shower, don't shave, you don't clean up your room, don't even eat properly. You're eating while you're playing. It's very unhealthy. That's not a healthy lifestyle for anybody, and more so a believer. Neglect of personal hygiene, eating, those kind of things. That is a very big warning sign that you're becoming dependent. This thing's becoming an unhealthy obsession inside of your life. That this, you need to take control of this because this is going to lead you to an addiction if you're not addicted already. Number eight, escapism. The use of video games to escape or relieve a negative mood. So you're not feeling happy, you're feeling down. Your preferred way to get yourself out of that bad mood, I'm going to go and play a game. Now, to a genuine believer, there's other ways. You go and put on Christian music and pray. You go and fellowship with believers. You go and, there's many other ways when the devil's giving you a hard time. But if your way of escape, your refuge, your high place, your secret place is gaming, that's become an idol now. Now you're seeking refuge in the wrong thing. You're seeking to escape from the wrong thing. We should be going into that secret place of the Most High and going to El Shaddai and drawing strength from Him and pouring out our heart to Him and casting all our cares upon Him. But when there's the guilt, depression, anxiety, we're seeking to escape from the real world problem, real issues, and these dimensions of things. That's unhealthy. That's a very big warning sign. Number nine, out of control. Unsuccessful attempts to control time spent game. You've tried before to stop. You've tried to limit your time, but you're not able to do it anymore. It's like with drugs, a person, they say, no, I can take it. It won't take control. They get to a stage, they try to stop and they can't. That's an addiction now. That's something that's taken deep root and deep hold. And now it's become something beyond just a hobby or something beyond just a recreation. Now it's become something that's taken you into bondage. And we said it's self-worship, worshiping your pleasure. Where does it end up in? It ends up controlling you in the end. And that's what this symptom is all about. Now, this digital world is controlling you. You can't even control yourself anymore. It links in with deceit. It links in with all those other things, that one. Number 10, you play on regardless. The individual continues to play despite recognizing the negative impact. You see you're getting obese. You're not doing any exercise. You're not healthy anymore. You see your relationships are suffering with your family, with your friends. Now you start seeing these symptoms. You're not getting enough sleep. It's affecting your studies. It's affecting your spiritual life. But you just, even though you see the effects and you know them, the negative effects, it's having a real effects on you. You just keep on doing it. That's like gambling. That's like any other addiction. The person sees this is, I'm wasting my money. I'm getting in debt. But they just play on regardless, despite the fact that they can see all these negative effects in real consequences inside of their lives and affecting them, their relationships, their well-being. But you keep going. That's an obsession. That's not a healthy thing for a person to do. Wow. So with these 10 warning signs, this is what they say. The people that study these things, seeking health. If you meet five or more of these warning signs in a 12-month period, so at any time in the last year, you can say, look, I've had at least five of those things in the last year. You may have an addiction and should seek help immediately. That's what they say. The American health authorities. Remember, we saw the World Health Organization that put this one as a mental disorder, as a mental challenge. The same as gambling, the same as pornography, the same as other things. So they say, if you have five of those, if you're honest with yourself and see, but hey, I think I've had five of those symptoms in the last, you should really seek for help. Seek for spiritual help and seek for help. There's other ways you can seek for help as well. But seek for help. Don't let this thing continue to take over. Because what maybe started off as just a pastime, a recreation, playing games, getting into a digital world with your friends, it's now become something that's seeking to destroy you, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's what the enemy comes. But Jesus says, I've come to give you life and more abundant life. And these things are taken away from your walk with the Lord, from you fulfilling your purpose and your destiny. So you should really be taking these things seriously. So you can see all the symptoms of addiction. Now let's finish off with the oncoming storm. We saw this last time a little bit when the Surgeon General of the US, he put out his urgent advisory social media and youth mental health, and he called it a national youth mental health crisis, that there's an oncoming storm of mental issues, of social issues coming. We already see it because of people's addiction and healthy obsession to these digital things. But let's have a look at what is this oncoming storm? How much time, how much daily time are people in America actually spending? This comes from the website of the CDC. You'll see at the bottom left-hand side, it's the biggest health professional organization in America, the Center for Disease Control. It's a government organization. They're the ones that sent out the alert for coronavirus. They're the ones that give the advice on all of these things that take place when there's diseases and that around the world. This is from their website. So they'll say children 8 to 10 years old at the moment spend about 6 hours a day in front of a screen using entertainment media. That includes 4 hours of television. Now, believers don't watch television, we watch YouTube. Or we watch Amazon Prime, but it's the same thing. It's screen time. So that's why they say there's a crisis. This is not healthy. And they put some good things down the side. Instead, they could play a game of basketball, still have time to walk the dog and dance to their favorite songs and jump a rope and ride their bike. And you still have time left over if you just brought the screen time under control. Okay, that's children 8 to 10. What about children 11 to 14? They're spending nearly 9 hours a day in front of a screen using entertainment media, including 5 hours a day of television. 4 hours a day, not television, but games, social media, and that kind of stuff. Wow, 9 hours a day. Again, they could play a game of basketball, walk the dog, dance their favorite songs, skateboard, and ride their bike. And still have some time left over, change in your pocket. Yeah. And us, we could put there fellowship, read your Bible, mow your neighbor's grass or something, be kind to other people as well. What about 15 to 18? 7.5 hours a day. 15 to 18, because I think they're more busy on their studies, got to do the homework and so forth. But you could play a game of basketball, walk the dog, dance to your favorite songs, go for a run and do yard work, go and cut the grass for your dad instead of that. And that's a lot of time that people are spending on these screens. So you can see where the crisis is coming in here. That's 3 hours a day gaming or social media on top of all those hours just consuming media sitting in front of a screen. So you can see they're saying the urgent need for boundaries and parameters. We've got to bring it under control. We've got to bring it in the right healthy boundaries. And they've studied it now exhaustively, and they've given the recommendations of how it affects your brain development, how it affects your social makeup, how it affects your health. We know all of those things. We've looked at it in the previous ones. So we need to look as we close on boundaries and parameters. So we're going to look at three different categories here. Boundaries for those in Christ, boundaries and parameters for those not in Christ, and for our children who are not in Christ. Or maybe are young believers, but they're still in the developmental stage of their makeup. So those are what you wanted to have a look at. So there's these three groups. We aimed last week at those in Christ when you're speaking about redeeming the time. And this week, a little bit about worship. The previous weeks, we looked at the medical, the psychological side. We aimed at those not in Christ, just trying to give the medical side to this. We're looking at the medical side, the spiritual side, and all of it, we're trying to aim it at our young ones. So they understand medically, physically, and they understand spiritually. It's very good to get an overall view of what this can affect inside of your life, what this can take away from you. So the boundaries and parameters need to be defined. We need to define them, especially for our children. We need to define the boundaries. What are the healthy parameters? And they need to be imposed. We need to impose them. I mean, as parents, that's our responsibility. We cannot expect young, immature, children still developing, their brains still haven't fully developed in decision making and be able to say no. We cannot expect them to keep boundaries for themselves. You can't just give them your phone and tell them don't spend too much time on the phone, or you can't, they can't self-police themselves. That's been proven over and over again. We need to be the policeman. We need to be the Holy Ghost to ensure that the healthy boundaries are kept. As we always say, like with sugar, with diet, all the other things, how much sleep they get, make sure they brush their teeth. We need to take control of this aspect of their life as well. We can't just leave this and everything else we have responsibility of as parents and have to stand before the Lord. But this one here, we just leave them to do what they want. But that's basically what's happening. The screen is becoming the babysitter, and it's not right that they're warning us about these things. So what is going to be the basis for these boundaries and parameters? We're going to take counsel. We're going to seek counsel from the best authorities that we can. I've researched it. You can go and do your own research. Go and do it yourself. It's very important things we're speaking about with very real world consequences. This is affecting people's spiritual life. It's affecting their emotional makeup. It's affecting their relationships. No, it's not a small topic, this. It's a big topic. That's why we've taken our time on it. So we want to take counsel because Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. So your limits and boundaries that you say, no, I think I should have so much time in a day. Well, the Bible tells us don't lean on your own understanding. Where are you getting that from? What is the basis of that parameter or boundary? Where did you get that from? Like saying, I can eat as much sugar as I want, it's not going to affect me. No. There's people that research these things and they come and recommend to us a recommended daily allowance. And if you've got common sense and you know that it comes from a reputable source, you're going to take that on board very big time in part of your decision-making process. So we don't want to lean on our own understanding. Proverbs 24, verse 6, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. And in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. So there's going to be different people researching different areas, different aspects. You've got to search through, you've got to seek the Lord to help you, and you're going to find some very good authorities, and especially the Christian ones are the best, the people that put the spiritual aspect in there as well. And we can start getting a good basis. And finally, Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Nah, I can do it myself. I doesn't make sense. I doesn't know what he's talking about. I research these things. I know people quickly dismiss it and say, but hey, where did you do your research? What's the basis for you dismissing what I'm saying? I can take you back to so many different documents, research studies, big medical associations to back up what I'm saying. I didn't get this from myself. And then take it to the scripture, take it to the message of the hour. And you get a good balance. I may not be perfect on it, but I've got a pretty good understanding of it. Enough maybe to trust what these people are saying in their recommendations. So we don't have much more to go. Just a few more slides, we'll finish off. I just wanted to say this. Our authorities, we've spoken of this before. If anybody is watching and don't know about us, we have our YouTube channel, Dublin Christian Fellowship. We started at the end of last year, the very first one, Dominion in the Digital Age. We started looking at social media and so forth. And then we started these Bible studies now, Lost in the Matrix, part one, why are video games so addictive, a month ago. Then we did part two, the power of impression, the gods of the Matrix. We started looking at that mythology and so forth, how it's very powerful in mythology. Then we looked last week at part three, taking back control, redeeming the time. We looked at it more from the spiritual aspect as a believer. We've also looked 2 weeks back at church. We looked at Babylon rising, a little leaven. We started looking at the tree of life, tree of knowledge, Satan's Eden. We looked at it again this Sunday, Babylon rising part two, the two Babylons, Rome, the religious deception, and Hollywood, the other Babylon. We've looked at it. So if anybody wants further to research a bit further in this, you'll find things maybe that'll link you to other things. Those are the things that we've done. So we've done a few things looking at this. So look at the boundaries and parameters of those that are in Christ. We'll take about another 10 minutes and we'll finish. Boundaries and parameters of those in Christ. So if you're a believer, a spirit-filled believer, you love the Lord, you've got a calling inside of your life, you just want to please the Lord, the boundaries and parameters you're going to set for you are going to be different for someone who's not in Christ, for our children that are not believers, obviously. The greatest boundary and parameter we can set is to make sure if you are like this, 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. So the greatest counselor, the greatest advice, if you need to take counsel, is the counselor himself. He's the wonderful counselor, Christ. He's the guide. He's the good shepherd. He's in your soul. He's dwelling inside your heart. If you're a genuine believer, he's the inside shepherd. He will teach you. Jesus said, the Spirit of truth, he will lead you into all truth. So when you're spending too much time in something, the Lord's going to teach you. You're going to feel it in your soul. It's going to affect your spiritual life. It's going to affect your walk with the Lord because you have Christ as your guide inside of your life. He has your best interests at heart. He knows how to teach you better than anybody else, far better than me, absolutely. And he knows how to teach you about redeeming the time and what pleases him and what doesn't. So to a believer, I'm not worried about the believer very much on these things. We've given the guidelines. We've shown the warnings. We give some basic parameters. But you have the dove. You have the Holy Ghost. You have the Bible. Let the Lord speak to you through his word. You have the message of the hour to shine light on the conditions of our age. If that's your life, I have no fear for you. You know, you might go to extreme a little bit this way. He's going to balance you. You may spend too much time on this. He's going to balance you. He's going to teach you obedience through the things you suffer. That's fine. You're going to learn the lesson because Christ is inside of your life. But the other two groups now, those that are not in Christ, who aren't governed by the word, don't have the Holy Ghost in their lives. And to our children, our younger ones, that need us to be the Holy Ghost to them, to be the guide, to be the shepherd to them. What is the advice that they give? This is now from the American Association of Pediatrics. These are the, it's the association of all of the doctors that study children and their health issues. So, I mean, you're not going to find a great authority than the guys who are dealing with these issues on the ground. They know what's happening in the lives of children. They know what's happening to them emotionally. They know what this is doing to them physically. They know what this is doing. Now, the one on the right, don't worry too much. I just want the one on the left. You can find this yourself if you just search for it online. But I copied that little section on the right. So they say age ranges. This is their recommendation of the total amount of screen time in a day. 18 to 24 months, none is ideal. Less than 1 hour per day when necessary. So they're saying if you're on a video call with your grandparents and all that kind of stuff, fine. Yeah. So 18 to 24 months should have no screen time, absolutely, unless it's together with their parents doing something interactive like that. The age of 2 to 5 years, no more than 1 hour per day. Less is better. 6 to 10 years old, up to 1 or 1.5 hours per day. That's total screen time. That's games, YouTube, whatever that you're watching, screen time. Up to 1 or 1.5 hours per day. 11 plus, up to 2 hours per day. Speaking of children, speaking of young people, up to 2 hours per day. Now, I know what's going through people's minds now. I can see the gears. I can see people saying, oh, why 2 hours, 2 hours? Okay, go and do your own research. Go and find out yourself. This is the recommendation of the people who study these things. They say for the best development of your brain, for the best development emotionally, that is what we're recommending. 2 hours a day, including your social media time, your YouTube time, your gaming time, 2 hours per day. They say you can have maybe some more on a weekend, but that is what they're recommending, especially on school days. 3 hours maximum, they say, on a weekend. Now, I didn't make up those figures. I didn't research those figures. I don't make up the figures of how much sugar people should eat or what's the correct levels of blood pressure or how much salt people should take. I'm not interested in making figures up. I'm just showing you what they say and what they recommend. Now, if you're a spiritual person, you'll consider it. You'll start taking counsel. You'll say, okay, is that right? Let me go and search this for myself. Let me dig into this for myself. If you're a spiritual person, you start praying about it and start saying, but Lord, am I spending too much time on my phone? Am I spending too much time on social media? Because me, I'm spending 6 hours a day, yet I'm a Christian, yet they're recommending just to natural people 2 hours a day is the limit. So, what do they say about continuous screen time for children under 10? Like in a turn. Experts recommend a maximum of 5 minutes continuous screen time multiplied by the age. So a six-year-old, 5 times 6, 30 minutes continually. They say when their brain is developing, you don't want it to be too long. Too much dopamine, too much of that activity taking place while the brain is at the most sensitive stage of development in that age. So they say as a guideline, 10 years old, times it by 5, 50 minutes a day. Yeah, whatever. That's what they recommend. So as we're looking at these things, as we give recommendations, what would be the next thing that you'd recommend as a parent or as a believer? To me, as I say, I always recommend taking counsel with people and giving them an understanding. But there's got to come a time that we as parents decide, based on whatever factors that we make our decisions on, as to what is a healthy balance for our families and our children. And we've got to impose that. You may want to bring it in gradually if you've allowed it to get out of control. But we've got to, at some stage, face up to our responsibility as parents, as believers. That if we have to impose other boundaries, like we in our homes, we say, okay, guys, you can't watch things with bad words. You can't watch things with too much violence. You can't watch things with nakedness, nudity, sex, and all that. We enforce those things inside of our house. But for some reason now, we feel that on screen time, we shouldn't enforce these things. Why? It's part of being a parent. It's part of being a responsible parent. So you need to discuss yourself as a mother and a father, discuss it with your older children, discuss it with your younger children, yeah, and find the balance, take counsel, find the right advice. If you don't trust the advice that I've just given you, there's lots of it out there. Go and find what is the healthy limit of time that's recommended for children, especially. Now, when they're getting late into their teens and all of that, you know, speak to them separately, make a time with that. But especially for the young ones in that stage of development of the brain, when they're not yet able to say no, and they can, if you leave the screen with them, they'll play the whole day. You need to really, really start taking your responsibility. And I need to start taking it very seriously and ensure that we have scriptural boundaries, and which is one thing. But also on the medical side, on the psychological side, we need to be looking in those fields as well to find out what are they recommending is the safe limits and safe boundaries. So I've shown you. Now I know that we'll come to next year and we're going to have some parents who have done nothing about it. I just know that's how Christians are. You know, they normally only act when there's a crisis. When the child's totally addicted, then they say, oh, now let's throw these things out. No, the prudent man sees the danger coming and takes steps before. And he started bringing things under control now. Noah, he heard the flood was coming 120 years' time. He started preparing for it now so that he could save himself and his family. So I put it across to you, saints. It's nothing more I can do about it. I can't make decisions about your homes. I know the decisions I'm making about my home. And may the Lord help us on this as we pray. Father, I bring these things before thee, Lord. Father, knowing just how much emotion and contention there can be in these things, Lord. And Father, which just proves the very fact that these things have got such a grip in the lives of people that even sometimes to discuss them becomes a heated issue. I pray for grace. I pray for mercy for each and every one of us. As we read what these health experts say, what the professionals say, Lord, we know what it says in the message about these things. And most importantly, the blessedness of your word. Father, may you help us just to make sure that we love you with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. That if you are first in our lives, Father, we trust in you that you'll help us to find the balance in all other things inside of our lives. So help us, we pray, as we commit this topic into your hands, Lord, just having tried to put the guidelines there, Lord. And Father, you know the wisdom that we need in these things. Grant us all wisdom and grace, we pray. And may you continue to help us in our fellowship now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you. Anybody would like to comment there? Any thoughts? I know there's a lot of people on YouTube watching. If you've got any questions or thoughts, you can post them on WhatsApp. We'll read them out or anybody on Zoom, you can post them in the comments, or if you want to say something, that should be wonderful. I will just release everybody to be able to mute, unmute yourself. Yeah. I need to get my little device, not only with the amens, but I need to get the sound of crickets. You know, like in those films and that, when people go silent, it goes clunk, clunk, clunk. I need to. You go, Brother George, yes, bro. Brother Georgie, can you unmute yourself there, bro? Yeah, okay, there you go, bro.
Okay, yeah. Just look, I have nothing to say about that, but man, this is wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. I don't know why you were stressing there. This was so good.
Oh, brother, I know why I'm stressing.
This is powerful. This is powerful. I really love this. But you never gave us adults. What's our time?
Well, that's why I said, as believers, bro, you've got the guide inside of you. I think each of us know when we're doing too much or we're not doing enough. You know, I mean, the state of our soul is the very good thermometer, the state of your spirit. Because when you're walking with the Lord, yeah, and the Lord is real, and things are happening in your life, and the all-night prayers are going well, or someone, you're leading someone to the Lord, you're helping somebody inside your life, you don't want to go and read the news. You don't want to go and read nonsense things. You want to, like we were saying, there's nothing wrong if you're going to be on the screen for good things, if it's for the kingdom, or it's for, you know, it's a genuine purpose. Like you say, your family, get together, have a night, you know, have a movie night, do things like that. You know, obviously there's a balance on these things, but just individual screen time where you're just shutting yourself in, just you and your screen. I think, hey, the Holy Ghost will guide and lead you there. What do you think, Brother George? Oh, you muted yourself again. Yeah, sorry. I thought that we could allow people there.
I was saying amen, so I didn't want anyone to hear me.
Okay, so.
Oh, no, 100%. 100%. Like, I like Brother Will's analogy of, he puts a timer. My analogy since I had the first iPhone is, am I listening more to the word or more to music?
Uh-huh.
I don't even look at other things. So it must balance out. It must, if I'm using it for YouTube now, lately there's YouTube these days, or other social things. No, I remember years and years ago, I used to have Facebook on my phone. I think we still lived in the flat, and I really seen how it consumed my time. Like you said, you have the guide, and I deleted it off my phone, and I never had it again.
Same and with me.
So we just gotta, we know ourselves, because like, I like what you were saying is in yourself that I'm leaning too much this way.
Yeah.
What's the first thing I should think of in the morning? What's the first thing when I wake up, you know? So thank
Absolutely.
You so much, Pastor. I really love this one. It was so good.
And that's what I'm saying, Brad, that, I mean, the advice and the boundaries and parameters to a believer is you follow the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I mean, if you spend your time with the Lord and you do, you know, you fulfilling your calling, your purpose, whatever, you know, whatever, in simplicity inside of your life. And then later on, you want to watch something which is wholesome to relax, like Brother Bram would go fishing, or some people like to go and play sport, or whatever you want to do, find the right balance. But the problem is now is people, when they don't have the real strength of Christ, the discipline of Christ yet, the self-control in their makeup, we can't just leave them. The younger ones, we have to help them now. We have to impart some self-control. We have to enforce some of the bond, like in every other aspect of our parental lives. So I know it's a hot topic because where, you know, there's going to be a lot of where-wheres from a lot of where-wheres, I know. But just before we come to Chabas, we had a question here. How would you recommend overcoming the phones, addictions, etc.? I will post it. I was going to put it, but I knew we didn't have enough time today. But I have a thing about their recommendations, which they have on how to overcome social media. Yeah, I'll post it on the youth forum and on the other forums, like how to overcome social media. What can you do? The practical steps. Yeah, this certain practical step. Number one, turn off automatic notifications. Now, why do you want your phone pinging all the time? Whenever somebody posts something on Facebook, somebody posts something on WhatsApp, that takes control of your life, because there's that tendency, especially if you're a little bit addicted already, you're a little bit dependent, Whenever you hear that sound, you quickly pick up your phone. You want to see what's going on. You know, so simple things like number two, go through your phone, delete all the apps you don't need. As a believer, purge the lever. Take off all the things you don't need in your real life. Because we pick up a lot of unnecessary things along the way. The next thing, make sure there's certain times of the day you put your phone aside and you leave it and go and do other things for several hours of the day, especially meal times. No phones at the table, no screens at the table. You know, that's the times now you take control, put it away. I'm not interested. Now, your time with the Lord, your morning watch, don't even have your phone with you in the room. No, when you go to bed, put on, like on the iPhones, you put on focus. You can put on from such a time to such and such a time. Don't alert me. And you can put people in there that you are allowed to alert you. You know, like your critical people in your life. If they try to get you during the night, then the call or the message will come through. But why allow all of these unnecessary things? And unfollow yourself from almost every person you're following on social media. You know, who are you following that's of any benefit? Some people follow people because of so many different reasons. Because this person here, they went to Tanzania, and I know Tanzania, that I'm following this person because they, you know, they went up to space in a hot air balloon, and I'm following this one because I like Alaska, and they once went to Alaska, and you keep on following them. And now you've got all these notifications of just junk. It's like junk mail coming through your postbox. Imagine all the junk mail coming and you read it all. You just look at it and say, this is junk, and you throw it away. It's like those cold callers calling you to try to sell you all this nonsense stuff or your junk mail on your computer. Are you going to go and open all your junk mail and go and read all the things that are said? You know, it's junk. Get rid of it. Delete it. That's why you have a junk mail folder. Scan it once in a while. Did something accidentally get through? And delete it. And that's what most of these things, the people we're following, it's junk mail that you've invited into your life. You've invited all this unnecessary distraction in your life. Then you wonder why it's hard for you to meditate on the word. It's hard for you to spend time with the Lord. Hard for you to find victory in Christ and in prayer. That there's some, I'll post it for you, but there's some very practical steps we should take. You know, especially on notifications and on unfollowing and getting onto YouTube. And we've subscribed to all of these channels. And that's why all these recommendations keep coming up and you get tempted to go and watch things which are very unnecessary. Now take control of those things. Go and urge those things. I think it would be very helpful. The Chiningas there. God bless you. I'm sorry, the Chiabas. God bless you, Brayley. Or whoever's there, Sister Bibi. Yeah, thank you.
God bless you, Pastor.
God bless you, bro.
God bless you, saints. This was a very good, very rich, and very good topic. I really appreciated it. I followed every single lessons, though in the background, behind the doors, not showing my face.
Yes.
But it was very, very rich and instructive. There's one thing I wanted to bring to our attention. So some experience I wanted to share, you know, especially regarding the content on the social medias, YouTube and stuff. You know, when my big boys were still around their 10, you know, before they became teenagers, I discovered something that they could go on YouTube or play the games or whatever they were doing online with very good intentions. They didn't mean to go and do something wrong. But before you know it, I started noticing that they were watching things which were not good, some very explicit nakedness, you know, some very explicit bad things. I just realized, well, what's happening exactly? Well, they didn't mean it, but when they were playing such a game or they were watching such a thing, something just popped up, you know, just so appealing, and pushed them, click here, click here, click here. They will go and click, and it brings them onto those websites or content. And
yeah,
I know they didn't mean it, But these things are so catchy that even when you fall on it by accident, it can easily become an addiction.
Yes, bro.
The workaround I found, because it was something that they couldn't control. You know, they couldn't. It was games they enjoyed. It was the YouTube's movies or whatever they like to play, and there was nothing wrong in it. But those adverts or those pop-ups, it would come even unsolicited. So the way I managed to get them to overcome it or a workaround, I just managed to install, how do you call it? Open DNS. Yeah, you get it, yeah?
Yes,
Yeah, I just set my router to open DNS. So whatever comes up with a bad content, it's blocked at the router.
Very good.
At the router level, it doesn't allow any pornography, doesn't allow anything that's rated as sexual, violent, or whatever. Open DNS blocks it. And
very
it
good.
was a very good way to help them, you know.
Yeah.
I know now they are more advanced, they understand better. You can just tell them, they can, you know, judge and appreciate and make a judgment based on what they know. They are more mature now. They've got their own phones, they've got their own devices. I can't really go and set up open DNS on their mobile phones because there's some level of trust as well, you know.
Yeah, true.
In raising children, there must be some level of cooperation. There must be some level of trust. There must be some level of freedom as well, because I won't know their weaknesses if I don't give them some space.
Yeah,
You know,
true.
if I don't give them some freedom, they make mistakes, of course, but it allows me as a parent to understand that they still have such mistake, they still have such weakness, and I can fix it on that way. But if, as a parent, you are happy that you block everything, you put chains around them and you say, my children never steal, you know. My children are not, they don't go there. Because you have chained them, it's not a good thing, because the day the chains are taken away, they'll show their true nature, you know. So I would advise some. There are some technology solutions out there that people can use. Some of them are not expensive. They're not costly. Just a matter of knowing what it is. It's free. You can apply them and help, especially those who are still at a very young age, who don't know how to make their decisions online. You can help them like that. Yeah. God bless.
Amen. Thanks. Very good, bro. Yes. I think below a certain age, like you said, I remember you once before, I think you were at New Year or something some years back, speaking about giving your guys phones and then going checking what they were doing and then taking the phones away and saying, you see, guys, I gave you a chance, but you ruined it again. You know, so I think there's a certain amount of liberty you have to give, but the especially the internet, it things like pornography and that, once someone's exposed to it at a young age, you can't unsee the things you've seen. You know, some things have an impact and effect. So I know below a certain age, I really do recommend software solutions, what you're saying, certain ones to absolutely block it from even being able to get in. There's a certain level of things which once people are exposed to them, it leaves a permanent imprint and they're going to struggle with that thing for the rest of their life. So certain things like, and we do that, we have certain software we use and it filters out all of those things. You know, all the explicit things and the bad words and those kinds. So I'd say, especially when they're young, like our younger guys, Timmy's 8, Benjamin, and that, I think you've said a good thing. When they get older into the later teens, it's got to be a cooperation between you. And the wonderful thing is if they're walking with the Lord, because you know, they have the fear of God. They want to serve the Lord. They don't want to do what's wrong. So, you know, like I said, that's why I looked at those boundaries and parameters. I said, if someone's a believer, a real believer, they've got the Lord in their life, you don't have to so much be the Holy Ghost to them. But if you've got the ones, guys in your house that are still, you know, that kind of an age, you're going to have to monitor them a little bit different. So it's very individual. But I think there's certain boundaries which we all agree. The blood must be on the door. We want to try any way we can to keep this kind of content out of our house. And then we've got to give them some liberty. Like you say, we can't chain them, bro. We can't throw all these devices away and that. But we've got to bring them under control and teach them the dangers, teach them the responsible use of these things, just as much as with anything in life. Brother Will, God bless you, bro.
Shalom, brethren. May God bless you and thank you, Pastor, for the Bible study tonight.
Thanks, Brett.
Yeah, it's been quite a very virtuous topic that is very, very relevant. And I wanted to just on the question that the previous asker asked, how to overcome on phone use and things like that. And you mentioned about turning off notifications. And it may seem like a simple thing, but it's a very powerful way of overcoming phone use. Because these people, what they have done is they have studied how the brain works, and we can maybe use the term, they know how to hack your brain, you know?
It's true,
And
bro.
notifications is one of those ways. Because it's like, let's say if I say, Brother Jesse, if I call him and he hears that I've called him, he has to respond, you
True.
know, because me calling his name opens a loop in his brain, and it's not a natural state. You need to close that loop by responding to what to me calling you. So that's what notifications do. Every time your phone beeps, do-do, it opens a loop in your brain, which is not natural, and you've got to close it by looking at what that notification is. So if you are trying to concentrate on your studies, or maybe you are listening to a message and the prophet is preaching, maybe he's saying some deep, profound things, and a notification comes, it opens a loop in your brain. You can't concentrate. Even though you can hear what the prophet is saying, your brain is not going to retain whatever he is saying, because it needs to close the loop that has been opened by the notification. So it's a very powerful thing to put your phone on silent, to just make every app silent, no notifications whatsoever, unless it's necessary. For me, my WhatsApp doesn't even ring. I mean, I'm an extreme person, but it helps me a lot because I only open it when I need to, you know? So that can help you reduce your screen time tremendously. So thank you so much, and may God
Yes, bro.
bless you.
Absolutely, bro. Thanks, bro. That's very, very true. But they say it, but they proved it with the brain, is that this generation, you find a galbi sitting in a college class, he's got his mobile on with something, he's got his laptop open, he's looking at social media, he's listening to a lecture and says, I can multitask. They proved the human brain cannot multitask effectively. It takes time for you to get into something. So let's say you were all the same. You sit down, you want to read something or you want to watch something. It takes time for your brain like to get into the gear, the channel of that thing. And when something else interrupts that, it pulls you out of that channel you were in. You were like in the flow and now it disrupts it. And now you've got to take time for things to come back into that channel again. That's why the prophet, even in the prayer line spiritually, when he's praying for people, he said, please don't move around. No, don't distract. Because when the Lord was dealing with somebody and the Holy Ghost is dealing with him, that disruption, it like takes everybody out of that channel for a little season. And then you got to let everything calm down, everyone get back into that place. It's like people come to church later, they open the door and you're in the middle of preaching and it disrupts the whole thing. You're in the middle of trying to say something and now people walk in, especially where we are now, because our door's in the wrong place. In the new church, the door will be in the back. I was saying the other day, I say, I'll be so glad when we have the door in the back of the church because it disrupts, because everybody's attention goes from what's being said now and goes to, oh, who's coming in and what's going on? The door's bumping. And now it takes time to get things back in the channel again. That's the same principle that you're saying with the beeps of social media. Unless it's part of your job that you have to be available. Like me, I have to leave my things on because people want to get a hold of me. You know, most of the time, so it's my job or your job at work. You're on call or whatever that it is, or your boss can phone. But when it's outside of the necessities of life, if we're wise, like you're saying, bruh, we should turn off every other notification. Now, every other notification that is not necessary. And then you take control. They say that you should, you know, how many times you look at your phone. Generation Gen Z looks 79 times a day on average at their phone. Now, they were saying that if you really want to overcome your mobile, the habit, you should even buy yourself a watch. So you don't have to use your phone as your watch all the time. Because the moment you're picking up your phone to use it as your watch to see the time, if you've got notifications on, especially, they're all sitting there on your home screen. And all of a sudden, you're sucked back into the cycle again. Rather, like you do, you should have certain times. There's nothing wrong with having social media, like to the young ones. There's nothing wrong. But if you have set times in the day, just, okay, when I spend my time with the Lord, maybe after I've had breakfast, whatever, when I'm on the bus going to school, I want to catch up with my friends, that gives me 15 minutes on the social media. And maybe after school, when I'm on my way home, I have another 15 minutes. That's me down on social media for the day. That's a disciplined use of it. You see, but this one here of it just taking control at any time of the day and re-inviting it to do that by putting on, like you're saying, it's an automatic response in us when our phone dings or vibrates. It gets our attention. It pulls us from what you're doing. Now our attention is somewhere else. No, we have to take control. I mean, the only way is to be disciplined, like we do in the rest of the things of life. When you shut yourself into your closet for prayer, no, you don't go and pray in a place which is public so that people can disturb you. You choose a time and a place so that you get undisturbed time with the Lord. I mean, can we not apply that to other areas of our life as well, to the way we use our social media and the way we use our phones? Is that, you know, we're going to use these things. They're not going to use us anymore. But unfortunately, with many people, the phone uses them. The phone has taken complete control, and we are the slaves, like the slide I showed the other day. We're bowing down, and the phone is telling us, you know, check your email, check that. Someone's trying to get a hold of you. Ah, you know, no, let's not let it be like that. But I agree 100%. Anybody else there, saints? Those are very good contributions. Thanks, Brother Elian, Brother Will. Anybody else? Now, just for the young ones, what I'd wanted to do, I wanted to do this week to finish this off, but for the next one is to do a Kahoot with the young ones to try to get onto these things like the question that's just been asked. Okay, so how do I actually overcome this? How can I take control? Wanted to get the young ones together. We start discussing it, see what's in their hearts, start speaking of practical solutions and how they can help one another with these things. I think that should be good as the young ones to have special time together with them because they're the ones that are most affected of this. Well, sometimes not. Some of our adults are even greater addicts than the children. But generally speaking, this is a more modern phenomena. So the young ones have grown up with these things. It's just total part of the integrated part of their life. So we need to help them to have the right basis and guidelines of how to control these things. Anyone else there? Saints? I have my children in the lounge, and it's always interesting to see their responses to things, you know. Sometimes a prophet is without honor in his own country. Yeah? No, our guys are good. I really do appreciate it. We don't have any issues. Anything else, saints? The crickets are going, so I think maybe we should finish off there. Brother George, you pray first, please, bro.
Father, we thank you so much for this word that we've received this night. Lord God, Father, these are the alarm bells that ring. Oh God, Father, the Holy Ghost is warning again, cleaning up, Lord, Father, even amidst our homes, oh God, for us, Lord, to be wary of this demon, Lord, that is sweeping and captivating and, Lord, Father, robbing our children of their quality time with God, robbing our children of their, Lord, Father, love for the word, O God. Help us, O God, that, Lord, may we take, Lord, Father, these wise counsels and advices and points that have been put out, Lord, Father, and just, Lord Father, oh God, rectify this whole setup, oh God, for Lord, you are in control. And we thank you, oh God, that Lord, we have a comforter, Lord, that confirms within us, oh God, that this is our strength. This is our power, oh God. Bless Father, our pastor, Lord, who's taken not only time here now, but Lord, Father, taking his time to study these things, oh God. And Lord, give him grace, give him unction, oh God, that Lord, Father, when we'd meet again, Father, next week, Lord, Father, when he'd get personal, Father, with our young, oh God, may we be involved as well. And Lord, Father, may we see and Lord, analyze the information that's going in, that Lord, we can also set up, Lord, Father, oh God, the fire halls within our house, that Lord, we'd keep the enemy out, oh God. We thank you. We love you. We thank you for your grace, your word. We thank you, oh God, that Lord, Father, oh God, precious Savior, you are coming to warn us to keep the enemy out. We thank you for your love. Bless every home. Bless every family. Bless all our young. Lord, that they tomorrow, Father, will be, Father, the champions in their classes, oh God. They will be the children that will set the examples. We pray your grace. Lead us now as we part with us, oh God. Grant us grace. Lead us always, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother George. God bless you, saints. Have a wonderful evening. Meet you on Friday or meet you whenever. Sister Roseanne, God bless you there. Each and everyone who's joined us.
Yes, I God bless you. Good night.
God bless.
God bless. God can bless you. See you next week.
Same. Have a good